I had a realization. I've been listening back, editing, and I keep making this reference whenever we talk about like general culture of people getting into role playing games, and I keep dropping Community. And
I realize you do.
I sound like a fucking dinosaur.
Yeah, that episode is what, like 15 years old.
Yeah, it's Stranger Things. Everybody who's into D&D now is into D&D because of Stranger Things.
Yeah, true.
So I just wanted to correct that. Let it be known on the record that I'm not a dipshit.
Yeah, dude, that'd be like, it's like if you're throwing out that episode of Recess.
So yeah, let the record show.
Let the record show. You do know that Stranger Things exist.
Yeah, I am aware. Hellfire Club, I think, right? That's a t-shirt I saw a bunch
Hellfire
of.
Hellfire Club?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
There was a guy in that show who wore a t-shirt that said Hellfire Club, and now fucking like...
I haven't seen that. That show is... When, that show's got to be... Those kids got to have like children now. Like, yeah. When did that show come
They're
out?
They're all like 25. Like
2015 or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I dropped out. People keep being like... People that I work with keep being like, you should watch season 4, man. It's got a lot of Metallica in it. You would like it.
You know what else has a lot of Metallica in it?
Yeah.
Metallica.
My daily life.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I keep being like, maybe I'll watch it. And then everyone goes, just want to let you know, just want to preface it. Every episode is an hour and a half long.
And I'm
like,
an hour and a half?
No. Immediately, what? I am out.
Like, dude, that is a waste of time.
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Fuck.
First season was sick though.
It was fine, I guess.
I really liked it. It was fun.
Anyway. I mean, yeah, whatever.
You listen to Cocked.
Welcome to Cocked. It's a good day. West Ham is up 3 against the Dastardly Forest.
Yep.
Danny Ings, old as hell, but scoring 2 goals.
David Moyes lives to coach another
day. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about.
You want to talk about fucking magic cards, dude?
I wanted to talk about cards today because you and our like group of RPG buddies have like finally. It's old.
Woo!
There you go. Okay, Antonio.
Antonio just scored.
Yeah. You love to see it.
Sorry, fellas. there's 5 plus extra time minutes left in this game, and it will be on.
Yeah, I was always like, I'm never going to play Magic.
Yeah, you mentioned that in a episode. You were like, fuck, are we going to have to talk about Magic cards?
Yeah, I always thought it was a thing where I was just like, I'm fucking, this is where I will draw the line. But you guys have, we went to the cottage. We were like.
Oh, it's great. It's a great hanging game.
It's a very good hanging game.
Playing Commander.
Commander, yeah, is a very good hanging game. So I wanted to talk about Magic a little bit because this is like a revelation to me. But I also just wanted to talk about, because I was thinking about it, and I think that like for, you know, like our cohort, our generation of nerd, I think that like more than anything, I think like cards was probably the first like hobby or collectible that most of us were introduced to.
Yeah, probably like through Pokemon.
Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh or like, and that's like it's like interesting to me that like that could be kind of like a gestational sort of like formative, like, oh, I like, you know, going to the hobby shop, going to the comic book store or whatever to buy like Pokemon cards or whatever for a game that I had fucking no idea how to play. Do you ever remember trying to play the Pokemon game and there were beads that you had to put on your cards, and I was like, this is fucking crazy. But like, I do think that also translated over to like when I started doing like Warhammer, and it was like, oh, this is buying this mini.
But I never played Warhammer really either until I was like
exactly
15.
It's the same. It's the same thing. Or like buying like the D&D 3.5 rule books and like creating a character that was, to me, was like the character sheet was just a big version of a Pokemon card where I'm like, here's a place where I can draw a picture. Here's like the stats of what it does. I don't know what any of this means, but I just want to make it like cool.
Yeah.
And I think that like trading card games and like cards have crossover, like it's like a gateway thing into other hobbies.
Yeah, it can be, but like there's so many, because like the intro, I feel like most of your bad taste about Magic was the fact that it was always like crusties at like a punk house playing it when we were on tour and shit.
Yeah, it was, you know what I mean? Very much the like 2014 like punk Magic the Gathering crossover was terrible. Because it was, yeah, it was all like losers at like hardcore shows playing Magic cards and being like, aren't we so quirky for playing Magic cards at a hardcore show? And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, shut up, nerd.
And then also, I do feel like there was also like a pretty strong contingent of like people who were like, oh, you're still into Warhammer? Like Magic players who were like, oh, you're still into like minis? Like,
yeah, because they don't have the fucking power, man.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. What is it? So it was like, I definitely like, pushed back really hard against that. And because it also seemed like a, if you buy this card, you win. If you spend, you know, like X amount of money on like this thing,
that's
you
the thing.
Win.
Like, it can be. And I think that's, so I'm interested in your take on like how, because card games can be like that. Like, totally. Magic can be like, if you have the most money, you will win.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and in the way that mechanically, the way that that has to, is possible is because it's baked into the mechanics of the game.
Right.
And like, I feel like Warhammer is kind of trending in that direction. Like with 9th edition, like it can be very combo-y.
Yeah.
It's not so much in terms of like, you have the most money, you win, but it's like, the game is kind of playing more and more like Magic.
Yeah. Where
it's like,
I think you can make an argument that it's been that way since like Ally Hammer. Mm-hmm. Like the first time that I noticed that it was a real like, if you just like buy this model, you will win, was like the Tau Dar like Riptide Wraith Knight combo.
Yeah.
Kind of. So like I don't think that's like necessarily like specific to 9th or like getting into 10th. I think that the thing that sets it aside from Warhammer, and this is again coming from like a more of an outside. Like, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on this game that I've played like 5 times, mm-hmm. but it seems like with Magic, it's like, oh, this is this old card that was printed in the 90s and they would never print anymore. And if you buy it, it's Exodia and you just win. Right. Whereas Warhammer is like the opposite of that, where it's like Games Workshop's like, fuck, we got to sell a bunch of these new codexes. Let's just make them stupid strong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it is, there's an element of like, if you have the money to just like buy an entire new army and pay someone to paint it when the codex drops, you will win. And there's like there's a pay to win in terms of, but I think that's also just like, it's not necessarily that army will be more powerful than other armies. It's just that it upsets the meta by introducing a new element.
There's actually something interesting about like playing Commander, because like in that gaming environment, there's a thing that everyone knows that is called like Rule Zero, which is when you sit down, you're like, what kind of a game are we playing? Like,
right. Yeah.
Is it going to be full balls crazy, like, or is it going to be, are we just chilling and like whatever?
Yeah.
Which is funny because like that is something that Warhammer would really benefit from.
Yeah, totally.
Like, which, you know, you do have in your like sane play groups, but
yeah,
you know, pickup game kind of shit. That's interesting to me because like, it is like a thing in Commander, like Magic.
Yeah, that's the only time that's come up is when we played with Matt and he was like, can I use this deck that makes you trade cards with me in the middle of the game? And everyone was like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, I wonder about that.
But I think it's also a thing where it's like, it's way easier to have like, you bring like a little box that has like, all right, this is my nice deck, this is my not so nice deck, and this is my stupid deck. Whereas like, you're not going to bring,
you can't lug extra units around. Well,
you could. But... Or you could, you know, change war gear options or like just do count. Just be like, oh, okay, cool. If that's the case, I won't play like this
but
model
think,
and I'll give this.
But I don't even know if that's like, is that even, I wonder if that's even possible in Warhammer, because like, everything is like abusable. Like it's not even the models and the stat blocks anymore. It's like the extra abilities that everything has, and like, the fact that like everything rerolls all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the stratagems that can do. And okay, so here's another kind of like thing though, is that like, because we've talked a lot about in 40K, it's like, if I was playing at a table, somebody could tell me that they're spending 3 command points and do literally anything.
Yeah.
And I would be like, yeah, okay,
sounds believable,
sure.
Yeah.
And there is an element of, like, as a newer Magic player, where I'm just, like, borrowing your, like, Goblin deck, which I think is the most simple, kind of straightforward way to play. And then we'll be playing against, like, Jeff, and he'll play, like, 3 cards, and he's like, all right, these allow me to do, and I'm like, I have no way to dispute this. But it still feels more balanced.
Yeah.
In a way.
Well, because the playgroup is balancing the environment itself.
Right.
Like, everyone's kind of, like, trying to win, but we know what kind of play is. Look at this motherfucker. Sorry. Lingard.
You traitor. You old traitor.
The playgroup, like, yeah, the playgroup becomes an environment that's self-correcting. So the game feels balanced because it's intentionally done so by everyone in it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is, again, just like we've talked about the importance of like a playgroup, mm-hmm. as like the central unit of gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But I don't know. You don't find that there's a little bit more, even for like you guys who like are a little bit more, like have played longer, I'd say every time we sit down, I have no idea what anything does. But it's like,
right, but the game is also extremely simple.
The like game itself,
the bones of the game are like, yeah. You can pick it up in 10 minutes, really. Yeah.
But it's someone will play a card and like everyone at the table will be like, wait, that does what? Yeah. But it doesn't ever feel like as much of a gotcha as like experiences that I have had playing 40K.
Yeah. Where I mean, it's also like, I think part of that is that it's a 4-player game.
Mm.
So you're kind of all experience when someone just like has a crazy thing that happens. Everyone's like, holy shit, that was cool. You know what I mean? Whereas like in a one-on-one game, you're just like, okay, I guess I lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's also, because I've been trying to think about it, and I hate being the person that like asks a question and then just immediately gives my answer to the question that I just asked.
Right.
But I do think that part of it as well is that like a lot of the time in 40K, I feel like those combinations are like not... Those are things that people have found through playing and are not the express like intention of the game designers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think that in Magic, a lot of the time it is like part of the way that game is designed is for you to figure out combinations that do certain things, because any given card on its own is not going to be like that great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think it's a little bit more of like part of built into the fabric of the game
of
like discovering those combinations. So it doesn't feel cheap, like when you're like, oh, if I take
it's a game of combinations,
as opposed to like if I take this unit and then I like use this stratagem or then I do this, it's like, whoa, they have like a 2+3 rollable invulnerable
save. It's also too, because like the point of that Magic is like a card game is fully mechanical. Like there's flavor in the fucking setting and the card art and mm-hmm. stuff and that's important, but first and foremost, it's a game. It's extremely gamey. Whereas, totally. Like, the point of a miniature game is, to me, and also, like, in factuality,
mm-hmm.
just the truth, is that it's for immersion first and game second.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason the game exists is so that you can use the cool models.
Sure.
And I think, but I think that part of the reason that, like, Warhammer is kind of borked right now is that that's not... that's not as baked into the gaming culture as it should be.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
And I think if people understood that more, it'd be better.
Yeah.
Because nobody is like, no one gets into Magic for the lore.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? But you 100% of people who aren't fucking psychopaths get into Warhammer for the lore.
Yeah, right. Yes. So yeah, that's a good distinction. I do actually think that in terms of flavor and in terms of like how specific decks play, I do actually think that it's like they succeed in a way of like playing like a goblin deck where you're just like flooding the field with like a bunch of like goofs feels mechanically, it's like, oh, that's really goblin-y.
Yeah.
Or like you know, like
it's very well designed.
Everyone that we've played with, like when they say like, oh, the theme of this deck is like sea monsters, or the theme of this deck is that I'm gonna have a bunch of like artifacts and build Exodia, and like those are, all of those decks are a very different play style that all feel, it's like, oh, this, there is an element of like maybe not like role play or not like lore immersion, but it is a thing where it's like the play style does reflect,
but that's also a choice of our group, right?
Sure,
like we do like the,
yeah,
because I do think that the lore aspect of like your wizards in a duel, like a fucking battle of Magic is cool,
but it's in a way that I think like with stratagems and with like force, like the way that like detachments and like the Arcs of Omen and stuff. Like, I actually think that those are elements of 40K that are slowly kind of being stripped away. Where like something like if you went back to 7th edition, the equivalent of stratagems would be like Imperial Guard having orders.
Yes.
And that was a thing that only they had, because which that was a really
super cool and
flavorful thing.
Yeah.
And now they were like, oh, let's just give that to everybody.
Yeah.
And like,
no, it stinks.
Yeah.
The like, I think the thing we were talking about the other day, where it's like, the more difference you have between the factions, mm-hmm. the like armies in Warhammer, the like, in terms of like, yes, everyone has stratagems, but also like everybody's war gear is different. Everybody's like wildly different. Everybody's mm-hmm. fucking stuff. Like the more. Like the less distinctive they actually feel, kind of counterintuitively.
Yeah.
Like it's better to have things be mostly, I think mechanically mostly the same, with like 20% variation in what people can do.
Mm.
And that is more like, that feels more deep than 100% of what every army can do is completely different in terms of like their ability to interact in the game.
Right. Yeah. So like the,
like Synapse.
Yeah.
Like, Synapse is no longer really that unique of a thing, because my sister's fucking army has a million bubble like fucking effects. You know what I mean? Every army has like a million bubble effects.
Yeah.
So Synapse no longer feels Tyranid-y. It just feels like Tyranid's particular flavor of the bubble mechanic that
right,
everyone has.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Everybody's doing like auras and like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's not having played as much 40K recently as I would have liked to, because we've been getting way more into like the skirmish games and stuff. And it is kind of a, like, if you look at like Stargrave, for example, or like any kind of like Inquisitor 28 thing, where you are building your entire list off of, everybody's using the same stat block for your dudes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But you're flavoring it with the minis, and that informs kind of your play style almost. Yeah. So you're like getting into the RP of it a little bit more. Is like, and then you can, yeah, like for something like 40K, filter in, here's like a few unique rules or a few unique pieces of war gear, mm-hmm. to
like when we like in pre like 8th, 9th era, which is like the era defined by third edition and second edition, infantry standard troop infantry had like your tough 3. You have a 5-up save, your strength 3. That's like across the board. And then it's like you vary it on
a guardsman,
margins.
That's a
Tau.
A Tau. That's an Eldar Guardian.
Yeah. And then it's like orcs get the extra toughness or whatever they have. Or extra strength, whatever they had.
No, orcs were extra toughness. They got a bonus strength on the charge.
But yeah. Then, and then a 6-up save. Marines get the 3-up save. That's it. And like a better initiative or leadership or whatever. And that slight variation, that like 20% difference,
mm-hmm.
makes them feel so much better. Like when you're playing like in that era and you fight a Space Marine for the first time and you're like, fucking 3-up saves are insane.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And that gives it so much more flavor. We're like, now there really isn't like a standard infantry mm-hmm. stat line, I don't think. And even if it does, like the stat lines don't matter really. It's like, what can it do?
Yeah.
You know? Which is annoying.
So how do you think that translates to something like Magic, where I'd say that like the core mechanics of the game are...
Because based on the...
Everybody has the same core mechanics, but everybody's shit does wildly different
things. It's on the colors. So the colors are like the color pie, it's called. It's like the core design foundation of that game, which is mm-hmm. like red does these things and it can't do these things.
Okay.
White does these things and it can't do these things.
Right.
Like, and so you have different... And that's where the interaction between colors in a deck comes out.
Right.
Because you still fill gaps. The game actually has like they've been kind of dropping the ball on that, where mm-hmm. like, I can't think of an example, but like red usually can't do like, it can't at all gain life. Like, I don't think there's a mm-hmm. card in red that gains life.
Right.
I'm not that versed in Magic to be able to like fully list these off, but
right.
as an example, but I think they've started to bleed that over more and more
mm-hmm.
In a way that makes it more feel more homogenous, in the same way that like in Warhammer, everyone can kind of do everything.
Right.
And so, like, I think it's really important in games for that design principle, whatever it is, needs to be fucking, like, gospel. Like, it's like scripture. Like, you shouldn't break it ever, because it is, like, poisonous to the distinctiveness of games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm trying to think of what else I wanted to, like, so this is, like, because you're kind of getting back into Magic now, right? Like,
yeah,
it was, like, a thing that you were, like, hard into for a while.
It wasn't hard. I was never hard into it. I played it with the same guys we're playing it now, but I played around, like, fuck, like, 8 years ago, more than that. It's like 2013, 14.
Yeah.
We'd get together, and I, like, yeah. And then I played a bit in high school, but not, like, it's never been my,
sure,
like, nerd love, you know?
In terms of, like, additions and, like, the way that, like, if you...
There's no additions, man.
Yeah, like, they don't ever change it. It's always, like, it's just the same shit always? It's the
same. I think they update... the rules document is living.
Like, okay.
And that was one of the things that I thought was so... When I was, like, fucking... 10 or 11 when I first started knowing what Magic was, that you could just download the rule book for free. Like, it's always been, it's not like you buy the handbook, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And the rules have not changed. There's been, like, clarifications of terms.
Mm. Like erratas, basically.
Yeah, because, like, you know, when the game came out, it was like you did get a card that was like, if a creature blocks this creature in combat, any excess damage is dealt to that creature's controller. That's just trampled now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
that's
kind of how it...
There were enough cards that had that, and they were like, we don't want to write this whole text anymore. We're just going to condense it to, like,
rule. But it's also like, this is how new rules come into the game, where, like, a card will have a ability. And then if it's good for the game and, like, players like it and it creates interesting interactions, they'll give it to more cards. And then eventually it'll become like a named rule that just gets printed on cards, which is a cool way of doing iterative live game design in, like, a large open environment. Like, that's something that is interesting about Magic that doesn't happen with 40K because of Games Workshop's, like, weird... I mean, they're different games, so you can't fully do this, but, like, yeah. I think there is a world where, like, Games Workshop fully leans into the iterative game design thing that they're kind of half in, half out of, where, like, they're still releasing rule books, but they're doing it fucking constantly.
Yeah.
And, like, updating things constantly, but it's all, like, set in stone.
Yeah.
If they had a living rule set where they could actually adjust it on the, not on the fly, but, like, kind of,
yeah,
like, that would be so much more interesting.
Yeah,
like, rules should be the rules should be free in this era of any kind of, like, collectible game.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason, especially, like, I don't know, I feel like if the rules were free, they would sell more minis.
Yeah,
because you would have more money to buy minis, which is what people buy the rules for anyway.
Yeah, it's, yeah, and it's like, at what point between, like, the, like, how quickly they're releasing new editions, how, like, the Codex release schedule, the supplement, like, all this, like, Arcs of Omen, fucking Blood of Baal, all this fucking... They're releasing so much shit all the time that it practically is a living document. It's just a living document that you have
expensive.
To pay for.
Hundreds of dollars a year.
And it's... Because it's, like, I think this is a thing that I appreciate for, like, the cards, is that all the rules for the cards are on the cards, right?
Yeah.
So if you're playing against somebody, you immediately know what all their shit does.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if you're playing against somebody in 40K and they're bringing, like, an updated codex or whatever, that, like, if you haven't gone online to, like, look up, or you don't have a copy of that, it's locked away in a tome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like in a...
Flames of War does this, Battlefront does this really cool thing where they, when you buy a kit, like a Flames of War unit,
mm-hmm.
inside the kit will be a card that has all of the unit's rules on it for, like, quick reference. And also...
I mean, I think 40K started doing that as well.
But it's like in the
paper, manual on how to build.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is this? But, like, those cards for Flames of War, like... it's really good design because you show up, play a game, and the other player has like a stack of cards, one for each of their units in their army. And if you need to know what they do, they just give you one of the cards and you look at it and you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And you can like, oh, what's the fucking training level of this unit so I can know what I have to use to hit it.
Right.
They just like give it to you and you roll really fast. You don't have to flip through anything at all.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
It's very good. But you can't do that in 40K because you need to give them this stack of fucking stratagem cards. Like
a stack of, yeah, a stack of strategy.
Like the stat block's so inconsequential to how good a unit is in 40K right now.
Yeah.
Like it might as well not. God, it's terrible.
Well, great news. They're reducing the stat block.
Oh, wait, is that the rumor? Like, I didn't
really. I heard the rumor is that they're taking away. I think they're taking away the toughness from the stats.
Jesus.
I definitely read this somewhere. I don't know if this is like a for sure thing.
Yeah.
But the rumor is that because they're trying to streamline the game, I think they're trying to do like a D&D 5th edition kind of streamlined version of 40K for 10th.
Okay.
Where everything's getting like stripped down. So what I read was that like they're fundamentally changing the stat block so that toughness isn't a stat anymore. And the only models or the only units that are going to have toughness are things like Terminators who are in like heavier armor.
It's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
It's not the worst thing, but it's also like you really want to fuck with like such an iconic like fundamental.
Yeah, like the second edition core fucking 40K game, mm-hmm. which has existed for 40 years until 9th or whatever.
Yeah.
Is really good.
Especially because everybody just got their heads around the idea of like, oh, like vehicles don't have armor facings anymore. All vehicles just have toughness now. And now you're being like, all right, well now infantry doesn't have toughness unless they're like beefy. So presumably the only things that will have a toughness trait beefy are
shit.
Like tanks and monsters. And so
it's and like heroes, I guess. Like would an HQ? I don't know the answer to this question, yeah. But like, you know what I mean?
It's me. I'm James Workshop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird changes, but I mean, like, I don't know. I hate to be like a fucking like doomer. It's like I'll wait and see what the rules are when they come out.
I mean, like, they're not sending their best. Like, I think like being a little bit like not stoked on whatever the fuck they're doing is fine. You know what I mean? I mean like not to, you know, I'm not backtracking on what I said last episode. Like I don't give a fuck what 10th edition is like really.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I like Warhammer. I don't like
additions
the
of
rules that Games Workshop publishes per se.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really that bother me that much, but I do have a vested interest in this game that I've played since I was fucking 7 years old or like been into since I was 7 years old. So like I'm interested to see. It's kind of a thing of like, I like preserving things that matter. Like, I think it's important to preserve stuff that is important to a person or a group of people. And like that game, like the core mechanics of Warhammer are really good and perfectly fit for the type of game Warhammer was intended to be.
Yeah.
And I think as part of it is that now that game and what it's intended to be is changing so much. Like it's so much more expansive. Like I think when fucking flyers started getting into the game and stuff, like you're fundamentally giant ass robots and stuff, you're fundamentally changing what Warhammer is. Mm-hmm. And because they kept doing that, they did not fucking pull up from that they kind of do need to change the rules to fit that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's fine, but I have no interest in playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I have interest in playing Warhammer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what they're gonna. I don't know how that's gonna shake out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just thinking about flyers.
They suck, dude.
Well, it's like I have this one very specific bone to pick with the concept of flyers because I think like. It fucks with the scale in a way where it's like you wouldn't move that slowly.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And then it's also my biggest issue is that like I always kind of understood that it's like, yeah, a bunch of this shit flies. Like before the introduction of flyers.
Right.
If you look at like
a grav tank.
Yeah.
In the lore can like actually fly.
Well, it's like if you look at the box art for like the Falcon or
like
the Viper.
Zoom in,
it's like flying over high rises and shit and dropping off troops. So it's like, that already flies. That's like, I thought we were all,
I didn't want to literally meet LeVar Burton. Yeah.
We all had a baseline understanding that things fly, but we're just like,
We're using our imaginations, dude. Like,
it's just easier to do this game if we use a limited amount of axes.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to have, like, have you ever, you know, you can watch a video of combined arms warfare, especially now, considering the ground war that's happening. But, like, you can watch a video of combined arms warfare where there's, like, infantry moving with, like, armored fighting vehicles with air support. The air support's like,
And it's gone. Boom,
something explodes. Like, it doesn't
hover.
Yeah. And I get that technology, well, like helicopters exist, but they don't do that because they'll get blown up if they fucking chill.
Yeah.
So like, it makes no sense. Like in again, going to go to Flames of War, because I think, because Flames of War is mechanically built off of 40K for the most part, like old 40K. So it's applicable. But in that game, like flyers, you can paint a little, it's 15 millimeters, so it's like pretty much to scale aircraft.
Yeah.
And they are essentially just like, you don't need them for the game at all because they're just cool. So people, you have them. So when you call in like your air unit, it comes onto the board, you place it down, you roll its like things, and then you just take it off. Like,
sick.
You know what I mean? Like it's just for show. There's a, like, if someone has anti-aircraft, like they get a chance to shoot at it. But because the plane is not literally there, like, they can shoot at it no matter what, like, whether it's come, like, whether they can see it or not, because it's understood that this thing is like coming into the battle space to attack a target and then leaving. So you get one shot to try to down it.
Yeah.
And like, that always felt really cool to me because it's the admission that, okay, we want to have cool planes.
Yeah.
But we're gonna put gameplay for it over, you know, it's not the hero of the game.
Yeah.
And it's also like, you can pay the points for them. Sometimes they don't come in.
Right.
Like, it's like they're off being intercepted by other planes or like whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. And then it was like, remember when it was like you'd play a Necron player and they had like four of those fucking things?
Four if you were lucky.
Yeah. Oh, but my God.
Yeah. it's so weird to me that it's like, yeah, we have so many sort of like beefs with the game construction of Warhammer, despite the fact that it has been around for so long. And it does kind of seem like a thing where, contrary to something like D&D, which has like sought to streamline the gameplay and sort of make things relatively simple, or something like Magic, where it has stayed like more or less the same the whole time with like sort of a living document of erratas. It's like Games Workshop is going out of their way to make things more fucking complicated. And then
in the name of streamlining too.
Like
the core rules of Ninth are smaller than they've ever been, but there are way more rules outside of that.
It's like the supplements and shit, man. I think because it's a thing with like a tournament scene, it like such a hard tournament scene, and maybe because like we play very casual like Commander Magic, like we're not going to like we know dudes who go and like get sponsored and play tournaments and shit. So maybe this is like fucked for them, but it's like, I think with like something like an RPG where it's like, yeah, they are releasing the Xandathar's Cauldron of Many Things or whatever, but you don't have to, like, I don't know anything about that. And
yeah, of course not.
My role-playing game experience has not changed. Whereas like with 40K, it's like, oh, this is the new Arcs of Omen detachment, so I can bring, you know, like two Swarm Lords and whatever. And I'm just like, why are you doing this to me? You know what I mean? And so I'm like wondering, like, in terms of to steer this back to, because I didn't want this to be a third episode in a row where we just bitch about Warhammer.
Dude, this is the podcast. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
I wanted to be like, hey, here's this new thing that I'm discovering, and I want people to share. I want people to share in my nerd joy. But like, so when, because like Magic's still printing new cards, and I know a bunch of them have Optimus Prime on it, and that sucks.
Oh, it sucks so bad. Like, dude. Some of them have Warhammer on it. It
that also
stinks.
Sucks. That blows. But
it
like,
sucks so bad.
They got to be coming out with like new demons or like new
goblins. Yeah, yeah. Dude.
Right? Like,
constantly.
Sure. And so, what is like, how does that affect sort of like the meta of the game? And because I think
it's insane. Like, yeah. You would not like Magic if you were playing it at the way that Wizards of the Coast wants you to play it.
Okay.
It chews people up and spits them out. Like, it is
you wouldn't
so,
last a second.
Well, yeah, and I'm not into that at all. Like, yeah. It is disgusting. Like, it is the most expensive. If you keep up with it, it is so fucking expensive. Like, prohibitively right. expensive. And like, you never, like, we play Commander and everyone like gets stoked about brewing a new deck and like having a deck, and it's like, oh, yeah. This is my deck. I'm gonna tinker with it as we play, but this is my deck. In like stream mainline Magic, non-Commander Magic, they release a new set every fucking 2 months or a month.
Wow.
Every month new cards are printed into the game. Right. And when a new set comes in, an older set becomes illegal. So it constantly moves.
Fuck.
Yeah, dude. It constantly moves forward. And so like your deck eventually your deck will become illegal in Standard Magic.
Right.
No matter what.
Oh, but that's...
Isn't that fucking anxiety-inducing? Like, doesn't that...
One, that's gross. Yeah. And that's, like... That is actually, like, worse than anything GW or... I guess D&D is also Wizards. But that's, like...
Yeah.
That is, like, fundamentally, to me, like, so much more despicable than... Because I think, like, we've talked... Like, we started this out saying that, like, you know... Card games is the first concept of a collectible that a lot of like kids have, and the idea that like,
well, that's the thing, like
it's not a collectible, it's like
it's
fucking obsolete and useless.
Yeah, exactly.
That sucks.
Yeah,
so much.
See, that's really funny to me because like, yeah. You obviously, like anyone of our generation who's a nerd,
mm-hmm.
and even non-nerds have like a history with collectible cards.
Yeah,
like in a way that like, you know. And you could ask even somebody who like has no interest in fucking nerd shit today, but like bought Pokemon cards when they were 10 because everyone
sure.
did.
Yeah.
They know the value proposition of like collectible card games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. And that's so like, that's like fucking prehistoric, like Jurassic value prop. And the way that that game actually functions
is the exact
is the
opposite
of
that.
And you didn't know that it was that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that
sucks. Yeah. Even, I mean, like fucking like hockey cards or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Like is a thing that like the idea of like cards as collectible is something that like my dad will understand.
Totally. Yeah.
In a way that like he doesn't get Warhammer.
You yeah.
know?
Of course
like,
not. Yeah. Yeah. It's much more niche, but yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah. Oh, that is the worst thing I've heard all day.
Isn't that fucked?
I hate that so much.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, I also think that, like, Magic and, like, one of the other things that, like, Magic, D&D, and Warhammer all have in common is, like, going from a history of, like, in the 80s, like, very, very distinct and, like, cool and weird and dark aesthetic
yeah.
vibes. To this like homogenized
yes.
airbrush yeah, digital painting fucking
yes, it sucks so bad. The fact that these games were all once countercultural,
mm-hmm.
like were panic inducing to like the
squares
of the time. Like Magic was in the 90s. There was like a second like satanic, not the satanic panic that as it existed in the 80s, but
mm-hmm.
It was like seen as you know, it's magic and there's demons in it and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they stopped printing the word or representation of demons for like 10 years, so like 1995 to 2005.
Wow.
Or sorry, not 95, but like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the exact range was, but somewhere in the 90s to somewhere in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, like it's funny to remember this now because our culture has changed so much in 20 years, but like the idea that the moral thrust of society at that time was like evangelical Protestant Christians,
mm-hmm.
which is so foreign to the way it is now, where like now the morality is like academic, like fucking dweebs, and they're like preclusions and moral like ideas. Like now the panic around D&D is like, it's not occultism and whatever. It's like, are orcs racist or not? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it's funny because now the culture of D&D and nerddom is to like acquiesce to those kinds of pressures and not maintain what's unique and cool about these games. Whereas before, I mean, I guess they did it before because like TSR like would change stuff and Magic obviously stopped printing demons, but
it's
different. Yeah.
Something like, and like, I don't know, maybe as, you know, like dudes who are into like punk and like whatever is like seeing something like old like 80s 40K and like early 90s Magic and that kind of things that were not only like sort of like opposed to that like conservative Christian like status quo, but like directly mocking it, especially in 40K.
Yeah, especially
something
in
that 40K. Is like, here is like a direct satire of that, and it has now seeing that now like go from like, here's a parody of like militarism and like imperialism to like,
I think,
here's this game of larger than life heroes and villains. Yeah. And like that, this is like, I don't need every nerd property to become a Disney Marvel fucking franchise.
I think, yes, I agree with you. I'm down to get back to that for a second, but I think on the like 40K as satire thing, while it's undeniably true that 40K there's a deliberate satire to it.
Yeah.
I think people get too wrapped up in that idea and they don't also understand that like, that's a theme and an element of it, but far more it was guys thinking that like fucking Marines and with huge guns is cool. You know what I mean? Like,
I
think people are like, they get too like, it's a satire and anyone who doesn't see it's a satire of militarism. It's like, kind of like, yes, but also like, it is a militaristic setting and hobby. It's a war game.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, part of it, like, there is a fascination with militarism and conflict and especially the like the medieval aspects of 40K, like intolerance and not even just medieval, obviously,
because
we still have intolerance, but like the fascination and like the fetishization of these things is part of it equally to the satire of like Thatcherism, you know what I mean? And I think people get people will accuse others of something that they're guilty of when they say like, why don't people understand that it's still satiristic? This is supposed to be satire. Like, Black Templars aren't supposed to be cool, and like, obviously people can like Black Templars a little bit too much, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Well, it's the same way that like, I don't know, man, like I think in the same way people will be like, oh yeah, like, you know, like anarcho-punk bands or like fucking whatever, like, oh, Doom only ever used like pictures of guys in gas masks to as protest. They definitely didn't think that was just a cool aesthetic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, they were like
100%
Discharge thinks nukes look cool.
Yeah, like, exactly. They have a fascination with atomic warfare and death, like, not just because they are fucking warning against the evil, you know,
it's
what
like
I mean?
It's like, yes, we all get it, war bad, but like, you also seem really into this.
Exactly. War, like, also like objectively fucking entrancing and horrific, and part of like, there's something in the human soul that is like needs to actually look at horror, like, not talking about like the genre of horror, but like the true like grotesqueness of existence, because if you don't look at it, you, like, evolutionarily, like, you don't recognize it, like, we're built to have some kind of draw to these things,
right?
Anyway, that's
I don't know, but it's also like that sort of like talking about looping this back to like aesthetics and the planned obsolescence of cards pisses me off, because it is like one of my favorite things of like every time we play is just grabbing everyone's decks and being like, whoa, you know, like, oh, this is like, my favorite card is this weird green monster that Simon has called like Thicket Branch Demon or some shit like that.
Is it his commander? The one?
No, it's in his green deck, and that's specifically the thing is that he has like all of these cool like dragons and like tree monsters and stuff that are clearly cards that were drawn in like the 80s and 90s. They all have that like McFarlane Spider-Man Venom kind of like vibes, like Spawn kind of shit. And then
Golden
I look at
Age of Art, dude.
His commander, like Azusa, the fucking anime weeaboo goddess of the forest. Oh, and it's God. Like when like the softening of the aesthetic in across fantasy, the softening of the aesthetic.
Oh, it makes me sick.
Drives me nuts.
It makes me sick.
It's and I do think that it is like a bad anime influence on like Western, not to get like fucking, you know, like the West is under attack from like,
no, you're Japanese. Yeah, you can say this shit. It's fine. Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, like the influx of like anime becoming hugely, hugely popular in like Western nerd circles has like, again, it's like homogenized these two aesthetics.
Yeah,
it's
a
thing
of
where it's like
anime influence and
is like, and that's cool for
anime
it to be its
great.
Own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, unless it's about volleyball.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, Western like fantasy nerd, like Frank Frazetta shit, or like, you know,
you don't have any, there is no Frank Frazetta in any
current magic
or
40k
D&D art or 40k. There is nothing confident about this art, you know what I mean? Like it's so phoned in across the board.
Well, it's funny because it's like we've been messing around a lot with like the AI art generators.
Yeah.
And I think for specific purposes, you can make some really fun stuff and you can do some really cool, interesting stuff mm-hmm. with the AI art generators. But I do, like, I actually think a lot of the recent, like specifically the 40K aesthetic.
Looks like AI generated
art. And it's bland and it's bad and it has no, there's no perspective. Like
there's no soul in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with some of the models, like the sculpts. There's no emotion. There's no human lens to them.
Yeah.
Especially now that they're clearly, because it's all digitally designed and not, hasn't been hand designed in a long time.
Yeah.
They reproduce form and like poses because there's a digital armitage of a pose
mm-hmm.
and then they'll be like, okay, take this arm and move it to this new context or new model. It's the same pose, but it now has a fucking Necron arm instead of a Space Marine arm.
Yeah.
Like that's 100% what they're doing.
And I mean, like, I don't know. You can go back to like second edition where like every single dude stood like this. All of the orcs and all of the Space Marines stood exactly in the same like.
That's a limitation of the technology for creating the miniature.
I'm still saying that
they're working within. But the sculptor was like, "How do I make this thing come out of my head? Like,
yeah.
I need to vomit this thing from my head."
But like all of those like. And I guess this is an audio medium. I'm standing with my legs, like my knees splayed completely out and my arms as far apart as possible on like so that I'm spread out
like
on a flat plane.
Halfway through a jumping jack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what every model looked like. But they had so much more character and there was so much more.
Yeah.
And so it's a thing where it's like, I get what you're saying, but like saying that the problem with it is that they're just like, Necrons are in the same pose as Space Marines isn't actually the issue.
But what I'm saying is that like, it's not that they're in the same, it's that there's clearly a duplication from one miniature to the other.
Sure.
Like it's not that they're in the same, the fact that they're in the same pose is a superficial aspect to the core problem, which is that it's fucking lazy and not coming out of someone's artistic development of like bringing something into the world that doesn't actually exist yet.
Right.
Or like when you're copying something over, that already exists.
Yeah.
So it's a waste of my fucking time. You know?
Like, Yeah.
And I love fucking bitching about this shit. Yeah, the D&D art is similar too. Like,
yeah, that's, I don't know. I think D&D is like a weird thing where it's like your favorite version of that art is whatever edition.
I don't think so because the third edition art is not my favorite.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
I think I like the period just before that, where it was like the early 90s fantasy art. Like, I don't know enough about art to be able to describe it properly, but like very emotive, colorful, lots of landscapes, lots of like fantastic. You don't see landscapes much anymore. You know what I mean?
Kids these days, they don't have the landscapes.
It's all in a small room or something. Give me a fucking vista, dude. A sweeping magical vista.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I love the
aesthetic of the third edition book is cool though.
The 3.5 like, book where it's like, yeah, it's like the Vitruvian orc, yeah, like shit, you know, like that rocks. Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but it is cool.
Yeah. I like that it's like sketchbook and like just those like those. I love the way that those books look. Like the outside of it looks like an old
dome. It's clearly like I think it's a picture of a real object. Like they made. Mm-hmm. I think that they made that.
Yeah.
And then took a picture of it and like imposed
superimpose it on that.
It's just fucking and it's like cool as hell.
All of the fifth edition books just are like fucking like a guy. Like it's like a painting of like a battle scene or whatever.
They look like do you have one on hand?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I have fifth, but I definitely have like the third.
The third is good, but if you have because the fifth, they look like banner ads.
Yeah.
On like IGN.com. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't have any fifth edition books on hand.
But like, okay, pull out, grab me a 3.5 and one of the 40K things. Okay.
Player's Handbook.
Player's Handbook 3.5.
And then what's the newest one? I think is probably Codex Craftworlds, which would have come out in like
2017. So yeah, these we're in an audio medium, so I'm not going to talk too much about this, but like one of them has like extreme texture to it and a vibe, and the other one, the Warhammer one, looks like a Google. It's just like I've seen this in Google image searches. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, it's like I want to, what we should just do is like we'll take a picture of this and throw it on the Instagram story. And just be like, which one of these would you rather play? Like, which
one of these would you rather have?
It's like on your shelf. Would you rather own is like a, or just like you?
Because I actually fucking hate that. Back to like Games Workshop's rapid release structure and like planned obsolescence, is that I hate that I have codexes that aren't applicable and they just sit and then I get rid of them. Like that feels so wasteful to me.
Totally.
In the way that like an RPG book or even like other war game games, like you get the rules and you have the rules because the rules are good.
Yeah.
Because you want to like play that again. Whereas like the codex is essentially like a downloadable content thing that you have to fucking throw away.
Yeah.
Like you go to a hobby shop and there's like old codexes. And aside from the ones that like you want to buy because they're from second edition and they're just cool art, historical document, like they can't, like a seventh edition, like an eight seventh edition codex is worth like $4 or something, like on
like that much, eh?
Yeah, like, but that's what I'm saying.
Like, I'm surprised that it is not worth
it's
like
as soon,
4 cents.
As soon as the edition changes over, it becomes obsolete. It's not worth anything, and it's a waste of paper and all the shit. Like, it's so wasteful.
No.
Bums me out, man.
Yeah. So we don't talk about cards as much as we're going to talk about cards, but this is good.
That was good.
This is,
yeah.
I don't know. We're just like, at an hour ish.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
we've been bitching hard,
and we gotta go play Twilight Imperium.
Oh dude, yes! I'm so excited.
Yeah, let's hobby progress, hobby goals.
I've been working on the Daggerheart book. That's my hobby progress for the next bit.
Hell yeah! Yeah, sick.
Yeah, I'm hoping to release it in the summer.
Nice.
We got to do a bunch of work on it. Both me and the group, because they need everyone's help.
Summertime, a perfect time to release an RPG for everybody to stay inside and play.
What, you think all those nerds are what playing volleyball at the beach?
They got inspired by their favorite anime.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be good, though. We can release to the people.
That
rocks. The greatest game of all time.
It's so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we played a couple of sessions since we played like one more session since the last time we...
Yeah, yeah.
Recorded in that rock.
I haven't painted anything in
a while.
You've been painting.
Not really. I've been stripping.
You've been stripping. Yeah, I saw him.
He's on my vat of goo.
He's completely melted.
Dude, this fucking so this Carnifex this like old second edition Screamer Killer, the coolest mini maybe ever.
So cool.
Top five for sure. I think, no, top one. I still got to buy one of these, but the first Farseer with the with the Neil Gaiman Sandman helmet is A plus minis. That's my shit right now, actually. That's kind of where I'm at, where I'm just like buying cool minis that I just want to paint and like put on my bookshelf.
Yeah. Full old man.
Yeah. Cause like, so I'm stripping this Carnifex. So I was too lazy to walk 5 blocks to the Home Hardware and get Simple Greens. So I went across the street to the Shoppers and I got,
nail polish remover?
No. First I got hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
And that didn't work. I left it in there for like days and I tried scrubbing it and all that happened was it dissolved the glue. So I was like, all right, I read that nail polish remover works. So I went across the street to the Shoppers and I got nail polish remover and I kept it in there for like 3 days and that didn't work.
So you eventually walked.
So yesterday I walked 5 blocks. So I've now spent
like $25.
$25.
I was like, that costs. Yeah, Simple Green costs $3. Yeah.
So I've learned my lesson and I will just fucking walk 5 blocks from now. But I got a big bottle of Simple Green now, so that's good. I also bought that twofer Theoden.
Mini. Yeah, dude. I forgot about that.
That's like, it's like the kit that comes like one standing, one mounted. So I got to build that and that, like, I want to do like a really good job of that. I'm thinking,
yeah, take your time.
I'm going to do the standing guy as like kind of a practice run through and maybe, I don't know, give that to somebody for like a little throw bonus, like Secret Santa or something. But the mounted one is like, I want to keep and hang
painted
on
a horse
to.
Before, man?
I've never painted a horse.
It's crazy. So hard.
all the horses that orcs and Tyranids have.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you get to a point, you're like, Jesus, I'm 32 years old. I've never painted a horse. You know what I mean?
I think most people could probably say that.
Yeah, but not cool guys like us.
So yeah, I bought those. I'm still trying to figure out if I go movie accurate and keep the helmet on, or if I just go like rule of cool and have those locks flowing.
I can't answer that.
It's so hard. You know, magnetize the head on this Theoden display. Mini.
Is it four heads, like one helmet for each?
Yeah. There's two helmeted heads and two bear heads. So human heads with helmets.
Yes. Very funny.
So I got to figure out what combination I'm gonna do.
I was saying maybe you go helmeted. Unmounted.
Helmeted, unmounted, unhelmeted, mounted.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking.
But like, what, which movie accurate? Because doesn't he put his helmet on when they ride out at Isengard?
Well, I'm doing Pelennor Fields. Like, sure, I'm doing a sword day, a red day, ere the sun rises.
So sick. You ever heard, listened to the video?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Of Tolkien reading that?
Yeah, it's so
sick.
Oh
my God. Goose pimples, dude.
Yeah. So that's been, yeah, my progress has just been like a week and a half long attempt at stripping one mini and buying a dude that I haven't done anything with yet because I'm in a conundrum about this head situation.
Yeah. You could paint him headless and then see, you know what I mean? Yeah. See which one looks cooler. I don't know. I can't answer. That's a pickle, dude.
Yeah.
I can't help you there.
I think hobby goals are just to like finish both of those projects.
Nice. Good goals.
My main shit. What, you got hobby goals? Just a Daggerheart book?
I keep working on Daggerheart. I do want to paint.
You said Daggerheart's for the summer. You got a hobby goal, something to make progress on by the next time we record.
So I'm deciding whether to paint my finish my Stargrave crew or do as like the next thing. I can obviously do more than one thing over a period of time, but or paint the test model of my homebrew Marines, and that's really pulling me in that direction. But I should finish the start, you know what I mean? I mean,
how many dudes you got left for Stargrave?
I want to say like three.
Yeah, you just bang those up. That's an afternoon.
That's not an afternoon, too.
Oh, it's sure, crazy. It is.
That's some balls. We'll figure it out. But what I'm saying is,
somebody got a job all of a sudden and doesn't have time to paint minis.
Yeah.
Somebody works and they don't have time.
Exactly.
Oh, fucking the bank's taking up all your precious mini allocations.
It's true.
I would finish Stargrave. You know, yeah, the three minis, that's nothing. That's, you could do that.
Bang some that out, no some problem. Some of them are dogs. I've never painted a dog.
I'm 32 years old. I've never painted a dog before.
Yeah. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. We're on Instagram.
At CoxPod.
I'm Bugs. I hate bugs.
Dorn to raise hell with a two.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. You got cocked.
You got cocked. Bye.